story of the dead bones in the desert from Ezekiel. And then the comforting Book of Psalms. And we heard of the action of faith in the book of Romans. And here in the book of John, we learn of the death of Lazarus and being raised from the dead. It's a lot to take in on this fifth Sunday of Lent. What does all this mean? If we think upon the dead bones, God was talking to his prophet Ezekiel and showing them how the faith in Israel was dead, and they had been banished and taken away in captivity, and their spirit was dead. But God said, I've not given up on Israel. I've not given up on Israel, and I can put new life into these dead bones of Israel. I can put the spirit, my spirit, into the bones of Israel. I can bring to them new life and return them to Israel and bring them back and make them whole. And it makes me think of our very nation that I love, the United States of America, and the dead bones that we have here today. And it makes me think of the many churches where people are sitting even this morning with dead bones and dead in the spirit, and need to have the revival of spirit, and need to have the grace of God, and need to have the spirit of God to awaken these bones and to awaken these people, to bring them to the new life that is only possible through Jesus Christ. And whether it's giving life to the dead bones in the desert with Ezekiel, or giving life to Lazarus, it can only come through the Holy Spirit. It can only come through our Lord. We have last week talked about the blind man and how he was made blind for the glory of God, so that the people and even the disciples of Christ could see the blind man, the man who had been born blind, had lived even until adulthood as a beggar because of his blindness, was given life, and he could go to work and he could earn a living because of Jesus Christ. But this was brought about on him for the glory of God, so that the disciples and the people and the Jews could see this man's sight restored, that they could come to believe. And now we come to the story of Lazarus. And Lazarus, we're told, the message was sent to Jesus that our brother is dying and you need to come. And so Jesus stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he went to Lazarus. Now, when he got there, he'd been dead for 4 days. So even if he had left right away, Lazarus still would have been dead. But Jesus wanted to make sure that they knew that he was dead. He wasn't just sleeping. He was in the tomb. And the stench was coming from the tomb. And there was no doubt in anybody's mind that Lazarus was dead. So that when Jesus raised him from the dead, there was no doubt in anybody's mind what Jesus had done. That he had done a miracle to show them that he, in fact, is God. That he, in fact, is the Messiah. He is the Savior. And all this is done just 2 miles from Jerusalem, where he will soon ride the donkey and humbly into Jerusalem, but triumphantly. And this is done at this time and this place so that so that the people can be prepared. It was 2 miles from Jerusalem. Not an accident that Mary and Martha were placed by God 2 miles from Jerusalem so that the people would come from Jerusalem and see this miracle. So that when Jesus rode in on the donkey, those people would have spread the word of what he had done. So that if you read the next few lines, the next few verses after the, and I encourage you to go back to this John 11 later today and read the rest of John 11, and you will see that when the people went and told the Pharisees what had happened, the Pharisees gathered and said, "What are we going to do about this Jesus? He continues to do these great works, and the people will continue to follow him. If they do, then the Romans..." Then the people want to declare him king, and then the Romans will come and take everything that we have away from us. And so they said that he must die. Because they did not want to lose their position of power, even under the thumb of the Romans, they had their power. They did not understand that the only true power, the only true freedom, the only true life is to be a slave for Jesus Christ, is to be submissive to Jesus Christ. The other day I was in Front Royal and I had come off of Main Street and made a left and went down Chester Street. And after I made the turn, there was a man who was leading two of the biggest, most ferocious looking dogs that I have ever seen coming right at me on this narrow sidewalk. I mean, these dogs looked like they could take care of you in a bite or two and there would be no chance. And they were big, ferocious looking dogs. I mean, they were foaming at the mouth and they were drooling and everything, and they were coming right there, and they were on a fairly long leash in front of this guy and walking towards me. And when the guy came towards me, the guy was holding both of them in one leash, and he simply did this, and both dogs lined up one behind the other and walked close to the building so I could pass. And I got in my car and I pulled out of Chester Street and made a right hand onto Main Street. And there the man was standing at the crosswalk waiting for me to pass. And I stopped and waved him on. The dogs were sitting at the crosswalk. And when the man spoke to the dogs and both dogs started across the street, keeping slack in the leashes as they walked across the street. And I thought, that's the relationship that I want to have with Christ. My yoke is easy. Walk with me. Let him bring me comfort. These Pharisees, while they were plotting to kill Jesus because he was going to take away their power, were giving up the power that can come through walking yoked with Jesus Christ, through walking through a life under the power and control and in service of Jesus Christ. They were giving this up. And these dogs looked so happy and so comfortable. And the owner looked happy and comfortable. And I thought, Lord, give me that life with Jesus. Let me walk yoked with him. Let me walk in that comfort with him, knowing what his will is, knowing what he wants me to do, and being willing and give me the ability to submit to his will. Give me the ability to understand that the only power that I can have in this world is to submit myself to Jesus Christ. The only freedom that I can ever find is to be walking in the will of Jesus Christ. Jesus was there to show Martha and Mary and all the people gathered from Jerusalem that he is the Messiah. He is the one that they waited for. He is the God, and he's preparing them for his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And the people will want to kill him. One day they'll be saying, "Hosanna in the highest." And next day they'll be ready to kill him. Because he's taking away the power. He's a threat to their power. But they don't understand that the only power comes through Jesus Christ. Through His will for us. Through walking with Him in His will. Through submitting ourselves. It's, as Paul said, it's only... Paul says that the chains that he was chained to, when he was chained to the guard sitting in prison writing the letters to the Corinthians, he said that these chains are nothing. He said, because I have my freedom in Christ. Lazarus could not be held by the grave because of Jesus Christ, because of the love of Christ. Our nation cannot be held by sin. If only our nation will turn to the love of Jesus Christ. You and I cannot be held by our sin. You and I cannot be bound by our sin. We cannot be bound by this world. We cannot be bound by the evil that would lead us and guide us and lie to us and tell us that we have freedom when we don't. And the evil that would lie to us and tell us that we have a right to choose when we don't. And the evil that would tell us that our way is the best way, and our way is everybody needs to do what is best for them, and everybody needs to make the decision for them. And that is a lie. It's what the evil one tells us is a lie. That the only true freedom is to be yoked and bound by our Lord and Savior, to walk in peace and comfort and security with the one who created us, with the one who loves you and the one who cares for you. The world does not care for you. The evil one does not care for you. But Jesus Christ cares enough to let his friend die. Even enough to let the blind man go through life blind so that he can be glorified. So that the man can come to know Jesus Christ. If that blind man had never been born blind, it is likely that he would never have come to know Jesus Christ, and he would have died in sin. But he came to know Jesus Christ, so the blindness is nothing. Lazarus had the love of Jesus Christ who restored him to life, but that is not the life that mattered. It is the eternal life that Jesus gave to Lazarus that counts. We have been chosen by our Lord, and we've been chosen for a reason. It is important that we walk with our Lord, that we seek our Lord, that we pay attention to our Lord wanting us to stop when our Lord tells us to stop, to go when our Lord tells us to go, to turn when our Lord tells us to turn, to yield when our Lord tells us to yield. It is only when we're yoked with our Lord, it's only when we trust that Jesus can raise us from the tomb, that Jesus can deliver us from our sin, that Jesus can forgive us for anything, that we are truly free. There are too many dried bones around us that need to know the word of the Lord, that need the Holy Spirit to rejuvenate them, to bring life to them, to bring meaning to them. And it's very important that each of us who have received the word share that word with the dried bones that we encounter, that we know, that we love, that we don't like. It is very important that we yoke ourselves to Jesus Christ and walk in His love and walk in His glory and trust in our Lord, even as He brings new life, even as He helps us mature in our faith. It is important that we continue to grow in our faith. We all learned the story of the dried bones as children. And it was a wonderful story that really, and everybody likes to, we even sang the Sunday school songs and the Bible school songs about the dried bones and all that. But there's so much more to that message. There's that we are suffering from dried bones even today. Our nation and our world are suffering from dried bones. Even the people sitting in the pews of the churches around our nation, around the world, sitting there with the dried bones that need to receive the Holy Spirit, that we need to see, receive the new life from Jesus. And they can only do it through Christ. And they can only do it when we submit to the will of Christ and that when we believe. Jesus loved Martha and Mary. Jesus loved Lazarus. But what was so important to her? Did he say, "What have you done? How have you sinned?" He said, "Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe in me?" is what he said. And she said, "Yes, I believe." And her brother was raised from the dead. Each of us needs to constantly renew our relationship with our Lord, constantly seek a closer relationship with the Lord, to spend time in His Word, to spend time on our knees, to spend time in prayer with our Lord, because our Lord is in the business of renewing dried bones, in the business of giving life to that is dead, to giving spirit to that is spiritless, and to giving hope to that is hopeless. And praise the Lord that we can walk with Him in comfort and peace and face whatever the world tries to throw at us, knowing that we have a Lord who can raise the dead and renew the life in dried bones. Amen.